Glorify yourself. Give us an encounter that will change our lives and walk. We vow to give you the glory always. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And we have our seats in Jesus' name. Want to celebrate. Let's celebrate the music team. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I said praise the name of the Lord. How many of you know that the presence of the Lord is here in a special way tonight? We appreciate the music ministry of the choir. And it's such an honor and privilege to stand before you once again this evening to bring God's word to us. We're still continuing our discussion on the subject of investing in our spiritual growth, and we'd like to take the conversation further or our discussion further. Let's read our text scripture in Colossians chapter 2 from verse 6 and 7. Colossians 2 verse 6 and 7 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It's important to know that having a relationship with Jesus is not the only thing that will help you and I to have a walk with God. That's a starting point. You can have a relationship with Jesus. You have also responsibility of nurturing that walk. That's why it says after you have received Christ Jesus, you need to develop your walk with him. Amen? Amen. And the result of that walk is what you see in verse 7. Rooted and built up in him. He's talking about the growth that we are supposed to experience. Downward growth and upward growth. That will help you to be stabilized in the faith. What gives a plant stability is that it is growing downwards and it's growing upward, and there is a balance. Amen? Amen. So if we're going to be established in the faith of Jesus Christ, that is the general faith, not your personal faith. Amen? Amen. It says it's important that you grow. And it says, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I said to us on Sunday that the concept of investing, the word invest rather, is a business, financial, or economical terminology. Those of us or people who are in the world of investing, we understand what invest or investing is all about. It's about setting aside money, effort, or time that you put into something with the sole objective of making a profit or having an advantage. That's the layman's definition. God wants us to be wise investors. When you invest in your spiritual growth, you're a wise investor. There are different kinds of investment. There is upward investment and downward investment. When you invest in your spiritual growth, that's an upward investment. It's an investment that will yield great fruits. Investment that will change your lives. And like I told us on Sunday, there are at least 12 major fundamental truths that you must understand about the concept of investing in your spiritual growth. It's a concept that you need to know. You cannot be successful in the world of investing if you don't understand what investing is all about. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life to him that has it. What does that mean? When you have understanding about something, you have an edge, you have an advantage. And God does not want us to be ignoramus or ignoramuses rather. Amen, somebody? God does not want us to be ignorant of our privileges and what he has made available. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 verse 17, it says, be ye not unwise. What does that mean? Don't be a fool. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. I gave us 12 basic truths that you must understand about investing in your spiritual growth. And I believe everybody got a firm grip on that, of that. Now, maybe for the purpose of people who are here for the first time, your spiritual growth, what does it mean? Your spiritual growth simply talks about the development, the progress, and the advancement of your spiritual life. That's your spiritual growth. You have a spiritual life. Once you got born again, you have a life. Amen? And the reason you have that spiritual life is because you are now alive to God. You receive eternal life, amen, in your spirit, that made it to be alive to God, and that opened you up to the realm of, you know, the realm of Jehovah, amen. How many people know that God is not the only active agent in the realm of the spirit? The devil is also operating in the realm of the spirit. So it's important to clarify that. That's why eternal life that you received helped you to be alive to God, amen. And your spiritual life is the life that you live as a result of your connection. Notice that, connection or relationship with God. Your spiritual life or spiritual growth, what does it mean? It also means growing up spiritually. Growing up spiritually. Growing up spiritually simply talks about you and I becoming more like Christ. Amen? Amen. Now, God wants us to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. Jesus is the perfect example. Amen? Amen. Are you here? I said amen. Amen. James 1:18, the Bible says, of his own will, he gave back to us. Why? So that we can be a kind of the first fruits of his creature. Jesus is the pattern. Amen, somebody? Is the example. God wants us to be like him. Ephesians 4:15 says that you may grow up unto him. The him there is talking about Jesus. The Bible says, who is the head? So is the picture, is the example. We need to become more like Christ. That's why you have the seed of God inside you. 1 John 3:9 says that you carry the seed of God. You cannot behave like God without the nature and the character of God. You see, that's why people who don't have a relationship with Jesus, who are trying to keep God's law, will be wasting their time. Listen, one of the most difficult things to do is to act or to behave like God. You can't do that without the nature of God. Okay, if you see a lion cub, the child of a lion, listen, that cub does not need to struggle to behave like what? Like a lion. Because the seed, it's not a seed, of the lion is where? Inside him. Amen? Amen. When you see a goat, I'm trying to remember what they call a goat's child now. A kid. It doesn't struggle to behave like a goat because the nature of a goat is where? Inside. So if you are going to become Christ-like, you need to have a first-hand experience with Jesus. It needs to be living in you first. Amen? Amen. Colossians 1:27. Christ where? In you. The hope of glory. So it's important for you to know that you cannot behave like Christ. You cannot act Christ-like if you don't have the nature of Christ in you. That's why we are talking about the development of our life. That is your spiritual growth. So I hope that is understood. If you understood, I said, say amen. Amen. Now, my focus today essentially is I want to share with us reasons why we need to invest in our spiritual growth. You know, at times, many people don't see the need, or people don't get to, you know, why should I invest? Why invest in my spiritual life? Why do I need to put the time and the effort? Why should I take time? Why should I spend my resources in investing in my spiritual life? What's there to gain? What's the benefit? What will he achieve? You know, as human beings, we are rational. We want to know what is inside something for us. Amen? Amen. Listen to this. It's important for you to know that when you invest in your spiritual growth, it's not a waste of time. In fact, one of the best investments anybody can ever make is to invest into their spiritual growth. It's one of the best things that can ever happen to you. So we are not wasting our time. You know, at times when you see people come to church or seek God's face, like we have been saying, I mean doing, I think today is the 13th or 12th day, I can't remember. Well, whichever one, amen. Thank you, the 13th, amen. It's good to keep count, amen. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. You know, you wonder what is the relevance. What's the relevance of seeking God in and out of season? Listen, it's an investment. Say investment. Listen, you never know when you will need it. You never know. You see, that's why it's always good to put stuff in you first before the day of reckoning. Or let me say it this way. Do you know that what comes out of you in the time of emergency is what is already inside you? Listen, I've been involved in some car accidents, and when it happens, amen, somebody, you hear all kinds of reactions. Amen, somebody. Amen. I don't want to say some of those things. You know what I'm talking about. All kinds of things. One that I can recollect vividly was a wagon car. We're going to lorry, and all of a sudden on top speed, one of the tires just busted. Amen, somebody. Now, the lady sitting in front almost wanted to wrestle the steering from the driver. Of course, some outburst came first. Amen, somebody. All kinds of things were going on. Amen, somebody. Now, what will come out in that kind of scenario is what is inside already. If it's not there, it's not there. Amen. Hello, somebody. You know, you never know where you will need some of these things. That's why it's important to have your spiritual armory full. Amen. And fully equipped. Because you will need it. I have discovered that there is no investment in my spiritual growth that is a wasted effort. Things that I've learned years ago is still relevant today. Things that I've learned maybe 2 weeks ago is still, so you can never tell when you will need it. So tell your neighbor, say, invest, invest, invest. Keep investing. Because people say, I fasted last year. Why should I fast again today? This year again. Listen, these things are relevant. Amen. I said amen. So we want to look at reasons why we need to take the pain. We need to sacrifice and do everything possible, you know, in investing in our spiritual life. Now, let's look at those reasons without much ado because of time. The first reason why you and I need to invest in our spiritual growth is because God wants you to grow spiritually. God wants you to grow spiritually. That's the desire of God, that you and I grow spiritually. Many of us here are parents, and I can imagine if you give back to a child and the child is not growing, you will not be smiling. You don't say, that's how this child is. Hey. I mean, you'll be worried. You'll be disturbed. I once heard about this very particular story of this child who was 16 but still behaving like, you know, a baby. Amen, somebody. When I say a baby still needs to be, diaper needs to be changed, cannot, you know, control the wee-wee. Amen, somebody. I'm talking and behaving like a baby. Now, of course, it became an embarrassment. Hello? Am I communicating? I say hello, somebody. If natural parents are worried when a child is not, you know, medical science tells us as a child is growing at particular stages, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, he's supposed to weigh a particular, you know, weight. He's supposed to, and there are features they look out for. Now, if human beings are that meticulous, how do you think God will feel that, oh, this is somebody, this is a child that I conceived in the realm of the spirit, and this child has refused to grow? God is not happy. Amen, somebody. Amen. Jesus said in John 15, verse 8, he said, this is what makes my Father happy, that you bear much. He didn't even say more fruit, much. So he wants the rate of production, our rate of fruitfulness to be at the highest. And you know that productivity or fruitfulness is an indication of growth. Amen? Amen. That's why it says in 1 Peter 2 verse 2, desire the sincere milk
of the word.
If there's milk, there is meat. Hello? Nursing mothers, we know what I'm talking about. You start the baby out with, you know, baby food, breast milk, liquid, or the milk part of the word, before the baby begins to reach out for solid what? Food. I mean, you don't have a three-month-old baby and you are feeding the baby with amala. Amen, somebody. Or aku. Amen. I think you probably want to kill that baby, amen, before the time. So we need to understand that God wants our spiritual growth. And you know, when we grow spiritually, God is happy. In fact, when we grow spiritually, God is able to depend more on us. So that is the reason why you must invest in your spiritual growth. God does not. Paul says, when I was a child, 1 Corinthians 13:11, that was a time. I thought like a child, I behaved like a child, I reasoned like a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away. Somebody was saying there's time for everything. You know, there are various stages of spiritual development. Baby, even the natural, a baby goes from a baby to what? Toddler, from a toddler. Adolescent, teen, don't complicate it. From an adolescent to, you know, young adult, yeah. From a young adult to adult. It's in phases. Growth is in phases. But the truth of the matter is, God wants us to progress. Say progress, somebody. Progress. That's why you must invest in your spiritual growth. God is not pleased. God is not happy when we are not growing spiritually. So that is the first reason why you must put priority. God is extremely interested in your growth. It's top priority for God. Amen, somebody. So you also need to put priority on it. Amen, somebody. Amen. Number two. Reason number two. Why do I need to invest in my spiritual growth? Because it will greatly empower your spiritual life. When it comes to your spiritual life, amen, somebody, is either you have a vibrant spiritual life or a strong spiritual life or a weak or a feeble spiritual life. You know what determines how strong your spiritual life is the kind of investment you are putting into your spiritual growth. What kind of investment? You know, God wants us to be strong spiritually. Let me show you the scripture. I don't want to quote it. 1 John 2 verse 14. It was Apostle John writing by the Spirit to the church. Look at what it says, verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. But I'm going to the B part. I have written unto you, young men. Watch this. Because what? You are strong. And the word of God does what? Abides in you. And you have what? Now, there's a link between the three. You are strong. Why were they strong? The word of God is what? Abiding in them. And if the word of God is abiding in you, it will put you in a position where you can overcome Satan. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. You see, the strength of your spiritual life is determined by the kind of investment you are making into your spiritual growth. If you are going to have a strong, robust, vibrant spiritual life, you must make quality investment into your spiritual growth. There's a scripture in Ephesians 3 verse 16. Paul was praying for the Ephesian saints. He says that it will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in your inner man by his spirit. You see, there's an inner strengthening that takes place. But that does not happen automatically. It happens as a result of quality investment. Amen. A lot of people spend time and energy on building up their bodies. People are concerned about
their physique. Amen, somebody.
There's nothing wrong with that. Amen, somebody. The Bible says bodily exercise profits what? Little. 1 Timothy 4 verse 8. But godliness is profitable unto how many things? All things. Having the promise of life that now is and of that which is. What kind of investment are you putting into your spiritual life? You know, if somebody is weak spiritually, you cannot blame God. Amen? You can't blame God. Because he's given you and I tools and resources to empower our spiritual life. So if you are not strong spiritually, the real culprit is you. Because God has given us all the tools and resources. Paul was saying in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16, he says, while the outward man perishes or decays, the inward man, now the inward man is made up of your spirit and your soul. The inward man is what? Renewed. How? Day by day. Now, that depends on whether you are giving your inward man the food that he needs to be strengthened. Jesus said, man shall not live by what? He didn't say man shall not live by bread, but he said you need more than bread to survive. Matthew 4 verse 4. Man shall not live by bread what? Alone. But by what? Talk to me, by what? Every word that does what? Proceed from where? The mouth of God. So that tells me that the way you give attention to nourishing your physical body, you need to give attention to nourishing what? Your spirit. Your spiritual life. You see, that's why a great man of God by the name of F.F. Bosworth said once that a lot of Christians are wondering or they are surprised as to where they are because they merely give their spirit man or feed their, they take care of their bodies rather, three powerful squab hot meals every day, but they give their spirit a snack per week. You know what a snack is? When you say you are snacking, you know that's not the real food. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. How many people know what I'm talking about? He said, all this was just to prepare. Even this time of breaking, I know some people break powerfully. Say, breaking powerfully. I remember a brother in those days that, people went to visit, some guys went to visit him after the fast. So they met him and they saw on the table all kinds of fruits, on the table. He said, you meet me where? Join me. Amen, somebody. So, of course, you don't receive that kind of offer. They joined and they were partaking in the booty of the fruits. And after a while, after some few hours, they now brought the main menu. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody else. So, brothers, I thought that this was, no. Those were just to prepare the ground. That this is the real something. Amen, somebody. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. But, you see, the truth is that how I wish that people will take care of their spirit like that. Hello, somebody? People can go days, weeks, in fact, months without nourishing their spiritual lives. And you wonder how or why you are where you are. Amen, somebody? Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, that's why you must make investments. One of my, is it cousin? I think it's my cousin. That's biblical. His cousin? A cousin, amen. Posted something online that I was so blessed. Part of the resolutions for this year, he said, reading the Bible before eating, that the one that that struck me, that got across to me, has to do with what he said, read two chapters in the morning of a book and read two chapters in the evening. Now, you see, you may not see that as much progress, but when you look at it in the long term, it compounds in value. Most of the time, people operate with what I call kerosene anointing. Kerosene anointing, kerosene, when you put kerosene into fire. It comes up as it was burning. After a while, it goes down. But you know, if you want to get steady, regular fire, you must make sure that the wood is dry. Amen, somebody? Set it inside fire. After a while, you don't even need to do much, because that wood is dry and it has caught fire. It will literally what? Be burning. That's something that is born out of consistency. Amen? Amen. So tell your neighbor, say, the reason you need to invest into your spiritual growth is because it will make you strong. Look at your neighbor, say, you need to be strong this year spiritually. Look at your neighbor, say, you need to be strong this year. That's why we are talking about this investment. Ladies and gentlemen, I think I've told you this story before. You know, first time I have ever fasted in my life, I had to adjust the wall clock. Amen. Because I felt it was too slow. Amen, somebody. But do you know that over the years, as God has helped me to overcome my challenges in that area, do you know that it's fortified my life spiritually. There are things I never knew I could. One of my friends, who went to the same secondary school, and, you know, same university, and along the line, I think he got to know that I was involved in pastoring. He could not believe it. Amen, somebody. Because it's Yemi. You know when they call your name and say Yemi, you know that. That's somebody that knows you very well. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house? Look at your neighbor and say, I see a transformation coming. So tap it and say, start investing. Start investing. Let's start investing so that we can have strong and vibrant spiritual lives. Not that we are rising today, we are falling tomorrow. I used to be like that. Amen, somebody. You rise today, you fall next week, you rise after another. But it's like zigzag. That does not build momentum. Amen, somebody. Look at the neighbor, say, this year will be totally different, because you will soar high like an eagle. Spiritually, if you believe that, say amen. Reason number three why we need to invest in our spiritual growth, I love this one, is because investing in your spiritual growth is investing in your future. When you invest in your spiritual growth, you are investing in tomorrow. Do you know that the secret of your tomorrow is in your today? Do you know that? Do you know that what you do today is what determines what happens tomorrow? Hello? I'm trying to remember something the Spirit God said to me. Okay, I've seen it. It says, a glorious future is assured or guaranteed if you make secured investments today. A glorious what? Future or tomorrow is guaranteed or assured if you make, as a condition, if you make what? Secured investment today. We can predict how tomorrow will look like by how you are what? Using today. That's why we are saying that usually investment is for the long term. Amen, somebody? Is to reap a future reward. I was telling you on Sunday about a man known as, they call him the Oracle of Omaha. That is Warren Buffett. He started investing at the age of 11. He's going to be 90 this year. Amen, somebody. He's referred to as one of the most successful investors of all times when it comes to stock, shares, business, or whatever. And he's done well. He's probably number 4 or 5 richest man in the world, almost worth about $90 billion. Now, you see that with time, say with time, you can see that it has brought him an enviable future. I remember a book I read years ago, the first time I read John Maxwell's book, the one on 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. It was talking about the story of a woman who retired from IRS in New York. She barely earned probably like $3,000 in a month. She's a picture of somebody you call like somebody who did not own anything, did not have anything, lived in an average house, no furniture. When she died, she left a huge endowment to a private university running to millions of dollars.
And she gave more than half to charity. They were wondering, how did she amass this kind of money? Somebody that barely, did not even own a car. They discovered that she invested what she collected as a pension when she left the high IRS into shares and stocks. And she just allowed it to compound with time. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, that's the power of investment. Many of us knows the story of Daniel. Daniel came to Babylon. He came to Babylon as a young man. He was not the only one that was, you know, that came to Babylon. There were other sons, other princes. If you read Daniel, chapter 1, verse 4, who were brought from the king's lineage. But where I'm going is this. He and his friends, three friends, they made a decision. A decision that, you know something? We are not in Israel, but we keep honoring God. We obey the laws of God. Amen, somebody? Our spiritual walk is important to us. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, Daniel proposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat or the wine that they drank. Do you know what they requested for? Pearls and water. Daniel 1 verse 12, the word pearls actually means vegetables. Is actually what we call legumes, seed kind of fruit. Now imagine somebody feeding on vegetables or legumes. Amen, somebody. Amen. For 3 years. Because the Bible says they took about 3 years before they stood before the king. Now that's sacrifice, that's living a fasted life. Amen. Amen. But look at what it brought Daniel, at the end of the day. Daniel 1 verse 17, the Bible says, as for these four children, listen, the reason they were distinct among the rest was because they were the ones that invested in their spiritual growth. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in what? All visions and dreams. You can see that investing in your spiritual growth will pay off at the end of the day. Listen, the kind of future that you and I want is determined by the kind of investment you are ready to make. The kind of future that you want is determined by the kind of investments that you make. There's a Chinese proverb that says that if you want 1 year of prosperity, grow greens. If you want 10 years of prosperity, grow trees. But if you want 100 years of prosperity, grow people. That's to tell you that what determines the future, the reward, is the kind of investment you're ready to make. I want to ask you a question. What kind of investment are you ready to make this year into your spiritual life? What kind of investment? You must be able to determine it, because that's going to determine how far you will go. I trust that you will go far this year. I believe God, that God will empower you to break new grounds this year. Look at your neighbor and tap him and say, this year, I see you rise above the limits. Say, you are rising above the limits. If you believe that, say a better amen. Many of us know the story of Joshua. Joshua was armor bearer to Moses, servant to Moses. Exodus 33 verse 11. The Bible says, God spoke to Moses how? Face to face, like a man spoke to what? But you know something? When Moses departed from conversing with God, I love Joshua. The Bible says, Joshua, a young man, refused to leave the place. He sat there. That's a man who was what? Thirsting after God. God, you can touch me too. You see, that's where he started. I am not surprised when it was time for Moses to exit the scene. The person that God chose was who? Joshua. And you know what God said that really baffled me in Numbers 27 verse 18 when he was telling Moses about the person to succeed him? He said, choose Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit. Now, you need to understand that he's not talking about the different kind of spirit. I mean, human spirit. Amen, somebody. He's talking about the attitude and the disposition that he had. This is somebody whose heart was panting and seeking after what? God. Ladies and gentlemen, the kind of future that we are going to have is determined by what? The kind of investment that we are making. So ask your neighbor, what kind of future do you want? Tell him, I say, are you ready to make the investment today? That's the price. We have to be willing to pay the price by making quality investment so that we will have a glorious and beautiful tomorrow in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's run. Number four, we're looking at reasons why you need to invest into your spiritual growth. Reason number four, the reason you need to invest in your spiritual growth is because it's good for you. One of the beneficial, one of the advantageous things you can do is to invest in your spiritual growth. Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians, you see the scripture, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 23, he says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. Now the word expedient simply means profitable. Not everything is profitable. Top of the Bible says, not everything is profitable. I think everybody knows that. Not everything is profitable. That's why you must make sure you are doing things that are what? Profitable. Not all things are profitable. Then he went ahead. He says, all things are lawful unto me. All things edify not. It's not everything that builds up. And one of the things you can do that can help you, you know, as a child of God in terms of making quality investments into your spiritual life is to do the things that will build you up. Oh, one of the things that can build you up. One of the things, you know, at times people don't know the value and the worth of prayer. Amen, somebody. Especially when you pray the Holy Ghost. Amen, somebody. I remember a friend of mine, very funny story. The dad overheard the conversation. They were talking about prayer. So the dad overheard and said, he said jokingly, he said, do you think God has time to be listening to you all day long? Now, he was saying that from his religious mindset. Amen, somebody. Now, do you know that the dad of that brother today, that brother is being used by God to pioneer a great church today in the country, and they are doing exceedingly well. But, you know, his dad spoke from the perspective of the religious mindset. I said, would God be listening to him for the next 30 minutes? You know, that's somebody who sees prayer as 30 minutes? Amen, somebody? Hello, somebody in the house? But if you understand what prayer is, you know that prayer is not a chore. Amen, somebody? Amen. Prayer is what? Fellowshipping and what? Communing with your Heavenly Father. And it's one of the most profitable investments you can make. It's good for you. That's what the Bible says, Jude 1 verse 20. But you, beloved, building up what? I can't hear you. Say building up. It is a build down, though. Building up. Building up. Say building up. That's going up. That is progression. That is progressive. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Doing what? So when you invest in your spiritual growth, you are doing what is good for you. Amen, somebody. Amen. You know, they tell us nowadays, this is not good. This is not good. Amen, somebody. Amen. Too much of salt is not good. Yes or no? Too much of sugar is not good. I was having a conversation with somebody and she was telling me about, you know, about a grandma, you know, that, you know, was busy taking lots and lots of coke. Amen, somebody. That almost made her blood sugar to just shoot up. Amen, somebody. And when they got to the room, they saw under the bed, crate of empty. I said, mommy, amen, somebody.
And I remember one funny story somebody shared with me of somebody that he said, don't take coke. He said, I will not take coke. But later on, when the person, you know, pastor, when they got to draw up the car, they saw empty bottles of coke underneath the bed. Amen, somebody. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Look at it. Say, investing in your spiritual growth is good for you. It's good for you. That one will not harm you. Amen, somebody. It will affect you negatively. Amen, somebody. When you stay in the word, amen, somebody. When you confess the word, when you come to an atmosphere of hearing the word, when you pray in the spirit, you worship, when you listen, those things will do you good. Amen. Amen. So tell your neighbor, say, I would rather do what is good than do what is bad. That's what, when you are making investment in your spiritual life, you are doing what is profitable. You're not wasting time. Years ago, I was privileged to be in a church conference, to preach at a church conference somewhere in Oxford. And the church is pioneered by somebody who comes from Kenya. He's an apostle. And, well, I think it was the second day of the program. Well, the person came to pick me from the hotel as we were going. The guy was now interviewing me and asking me several questions. I said, how did you know this? How did you know that? I said, what Bible school did you go to? What? So I was telling him, I said, well, I didn't have opportunity of going to Bible school. I would have wanted, amen. But because I was going to school and other things, I said, but one thing that helped me was the church that I was going to then has a training kind of school for their services on Wednesday. And I made sure that I was there. I hardly missed those services, hardly. Even when I was doing exams, I would still come. Amen, somebody. After my paper. Amen, somebody. I said, amen, somebody. I made sure that I soaked myself in. I internalized those things. Amen, somebody. And I went further to even, you know, I mean, connect, network with other people so that I could build on those things. Because, you know, you can hear something that you may not. Listen, hearing something is one thing. Doing it or testing it is another thing. The real blessing is in what? Doing. The real blessing is, the Bible says, taste and see. Psalm 34 verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Blessed is the man that does what? Trust in him. You need to put these things to practice. That's how you get the benefits. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, investing in your spiritual life is not a waste of time. It's one of the best things you can do. Listening to the word, meditating the word, confessing God's word, acting upon the word of God, praying the spirit, waiting upon the Lord like we are doing now. Amen. It's one of the best things that you can do. You are sharpening your spirit. Amen. And the Bible says, iron sharpened what? Iron does not sharpen wood. Iron can never sharpen wood. It takes iron to do what? Sharpen iron. So that means you need to stay with the right kind of, you know, people, or go to the right kind of places where you can be what? Sharpened. Amen, somebody. Amen. You know, there are some places, if you go there, your spirit is going to come down. Hello, somebody. Instead of being lifted, you are brought down to ground zero. Amen, somebody. That's why God will order our steps right this year. Let's run. Number 5. Why do you need to invest in your spiritual growth? This one is very important because Satan is after your spiritual growth. Hear me and hear me well, God's people. If there's somebody who does not want you to grow at all spiritually, it's Satan. If you succeed in growing, he will still not relent. He will not want you to grow like you ought to. The devil is after our spiritual progress. That's the truth. So I say, why? Very simple. Very simple. Listen, Satan knows the implication of a well-rounded, well-grounded, spiritual Christian. He knows the implication. He knows what will happen when you begin to develop spiritual muscles. Amen, somebody. You are finding your footing spiritually. He knows that his dominion and his influence will soon begin to what? Wane off you.
So that's why it's going to put everything. At times people wonder why, you know, when they do natural mundane things, you know, they seem to have the energy. When they want to do spiritual things, they wonder why they are dozing. Hello? Let me give an instance. Oh, come over all night. Let's have some all night of prayer. I don't say, after 30 minutes, you are yawning like a leopard. And the same person, maybe if the person leaves that place in that stage of, somebody, and you happen to, you know, stumble on a place where you are showing your favorite, whatever, all your antenna comes up again. Even somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Satan is after your spiritual growth. You don't need any prophet. I mean, you don't need rocket science to know that. You see the natural mundane things, you feel so free. But when it comes to spiritual things, you see, you feel one kind. It doesn't want you to make spiritual progress. That's why you have to fight it. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you so that he may sift you like wheat. He said, but I prayed for you so that your faith will not fail. He said, nevertheless, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Luke 22, verse 31 and 32. You know, Peter said, no, everybody will die, not me. You can't be arguing with the master. Even somebody. I think the best thing you could do would have been saying, Lord, have mercy on me. But he was trying to argue it away. And you know, it came to pass. He had even fulfilled the prophecy before he remembered. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Said the devil is after your spiritual growth. That's why you must. Tell him, I say, you must invest deliberately. The Bible says we have an adversary. An adversary is an opponent. An adversary is an enemy. An adversary is not a friend. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because what? Your adversary, the devil, is seeking for whom to devour. He will not devour you. The Bible says the answer in verse 9 is to what? Resist him. How? Steadfastly. You have to do it vehemently, consistently. Resist him steadfastly in the faith. The same thing you are feeling is the same thing everybody is feeling. You are not exempted. Nobody's exempted. Satan is, in fact, you know this, that, you know, the higher you go, they say the cooler it becomes, but in reality, the greater the vision, the greater what? The greater the attack. That's how it is. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house. That's why you cannot afford to be spiritually sloppy or sluggish. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you need to make worthwhile investment. You know, at times, many of us don't know that Satan even have a purpose. Some of us would not have been on our feet spiritually, if not for Satan. I remember years ago when I was oppressed, attacked by sleep several times. I couldn't sleep. To sleep became an issue. So, I had no choice. I had to convert the sleeping time to prayer time. So you can see how Satan was helping me to grow spiritually. Naturally, I wouldn't. Amen. But because I know that, okay, if you put your head down. Amen, somebody. You know what I'm talking about? You know, that some people pressing you. You want to say, Jesus, you can't say, yeah. Or you're attacked in your dream. I know somebody who was attacked in the dream. Physically, you could see the sign. Amen, somebody. Spiritual warfare is real, amen, somebody. Don't let anybody tell you that it's not real. It's real. These things are real, amen, somebody. So at the end of the day, I didn't have a choice. I had to convert my sleeping time to prayer time. If you had been and say, this brother loves to pray. Like they say, in a condition. They say, in a condition, make creepy bench. Amen, somebody. Necessity is the mother of invention. So at times, Satan is fulfilling purpose. Amen, somebody. Because on a good day, some of us will not. So at times, Satan has a purpose too. It's fulfilling. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, that's why you must invest deliberately. Let's invest in our spiritual growth. Invest in our children too. Praying over your children. Lay hands on them. Pray over them. Prophesy. Those things are not in vain. Expose them. Let them be exposed to the spiritual activities that you know. Saturate them. Saturate them, envelope them in the warmth of God's grace and love. Prophesy. Amen, somebody. Because I wanted to know that these things are vitally important for our spiritual stability and growth. And I know that one thing that Satan will not succeed in doing by the grace of God this year is to run you over in Jesus' name. Amen. Tap it over, say, Satan will not run you over. Say, you will have the upper hand. If you believe that, say better amen. Amen. Number six, why do we need to invest in our spiritual growth? Because your very life and existence depends on it. Do you know that our life depends on our spiritual lives as Christians, as believers now? You see, when something happens to your spiritual life, it will automatically affect your spiritual growth. And if you are wobbling, spiritually speaking, do you know it's very easy for the enemy to just have an inroad? When our spiritual life is shaky, it exposes other areas of our life. Do you know that it's the spiritual that controls or determines the physical? How many people know that? It's the spiritual. So if the spiritual is not in place, if somebody is not strong spiritually, it will be easy to invade, for the enemy to invade other areas of our lives successfully, because where we need stability and strength, we are shaky there. Amen, somebody? Amen. So tell your neighbor, say, that's why it's important to invest. You see, that's why we are hammering on invest in your spiritual growth. A man cannot be greater than his spiritual life. A believer will not be greater than his spiritual life. That's why you must spend time. You see, man is essentially a spirit. He has a soul. He lives inside a body. Our bodies are our suitcase. Our house. That's the house. That's the thing that houses your spirit and your soul. But the real you is your spirit. We need to feed our spirit, and we need to feed it strong. The Bible says the spirit of a man will what? Sustain his infirmity. Proverbs 18 verse 16. How strong your spirit is what is going to determine what it can withstand. How strong is your spirit? Amen, somebody. That's based on the kind of investment you are making. What kind of investment are you making? What kind of investment? Proverbs 24 verse 10 says, if you faint in the day of what? Adversity. What's the problem? Strength is small. But you know you can do something about the strength. You know you can build up strength. How many people know that? How many people know that strength can be built up? That's why we are talking about investing now. Invest, invest. Make it a top priority to invest in your spiritual growth. And the reason you need to do that is because your very life. Has it ever occurred to you that the area that the devil always tries to strike is your connection with God? Your spiritual, you know, the spiritual harm. If he can, you know, affect that, it's easy for him to evade other territories. Hello? I say hello, somebody. So tap it up and say, keep that place intact. Keep it secured. Keep it secured. Keep it fortified. And this year, Jehovah will help you to keep it fortified in the name of Jesus. There's a scripture in Proverbs. I think Proverbs 1 verse 10. It says, my son, if sinners entice you, consent thee not. Do you know why at times some people cannot say no? Spiritual resistance is low. So you cannot say no. Even when you know that they are leading you onto something that is
your spiritual resistance is low. Amen, somebody. I don't want to do it, but I just found myself doing it. I couldn't say no. Amen, somebody. Amen. Some of those things at times are not ordinary. I once remember a young lady who came to see me with her fiance. Is it fiance or fiancé? Which one is the woman? I mean, or the lady? You know what I'm talking about. She just came with a fiance. Amen, somebody. Is it fiance? Okay, anyone. Amen, somebody. And the brother spoke up and said, I brought my sister here. He said, there's a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, anybody that comes to meet and say, how now? You don't even know how now. I'm not saying how now in terms of weather. Amen, somebody. He said, how are you? Ah, you're looking beautiful. And starts to toast up. Before you know anything, she would just follow the person. She doesn't have to know the person from Adam. So I said, are you serious? He said, yes. And I said, you must be a good brother. Because some brothers will have run away to have stood with her. You know, some people will run away. He said, so what kind of sister is this? Off I go. Amen, somebody. So that means the brother really loved her too. I said, sir, I don't want to ask. I said, why are you doing this? I don't even understand. I don't know. I would just follow the person without even thinking about the consequences. When the deed is done, I would say, how did I even get here? What happened here? Amen, somebody. And so through the mercy and the grace of God, after a prayer of deliverance, God set her free completely. So I said, how do you know that? Because I think she was in 300 level than you are. And all the time while she finished, not one report of that thing. In fact, later on when she finished, went to serve, she got a job, I think it was MTN or so, in the early days then in Lagos. That's to tell you, at times, people do things, you know, they don't have the spiritual resistance is low. But you know you can build stamina spiritually. Hello, somebody? You can build, when you invest in your spiritual, you are building your spiritual capacity. The power to say no. There are some places some of us are going now, and I'm speaking prophetically now, by the Spirit, that you know Omoluabi should not be found there. Amen, somebody. Say Omoluabi, somebody. You know what they call Omoluabi? Amen, somebody. But at times it's because the spiritual resistance is low. What did they do for this weekend? What did they happen? Make we go now. Some people are looking away from me now. Tabernacle say, look towards the pastor. He said, I know nothing they happen. He said, make a dress, make we go. We go town. Amen, somebody. Go down to win souls? Definitely not. Praise the Lord. Oh, God have mercy. Amen, somebody. Yeah. Tap your neighbor, say, this year, you are free in Jesus' name. Jesus. Tell him, I say, this year, you are free. You must be able to say no. You're not under any obligation to obey anything that we know that will grieve the heart of the Father. And this is why you must invest. Say, invest, somebody. How many of you looked at that? Okay, number 7. Why do we need to invest in your spiritual growth? So that you will not lose your spiritual standing, placement, and position. Do you know that it's possible to lose your spiritual relevance? The Bible says, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest what? 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. One of the things I've discovered is very easy to fall. Do you know that? Amen. It's very easy to fall. We're all standing by grace. Hello? But if you neglect your spiritual growth, if you neglect your spiritual development, it will be easy to fall. Do you know why at times people backslide? Because they are not investing in their spiritual lives. Listen, when you have a life spiritually, amen? I'm talking about your connection to God, and you are not taking the time to nourish it. How do you want to be strong
Many of you know that David was a man after God's heart. Abi, 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. There's a very funny story there. The Bible said, the times when kings go to war, that simply means he was not supposed to be at home. It's a time. Everybody know kings go to battle here. He sent Joab and they said, go. He was staying. Doing what? You see, that's why his eyes began to see what he was not supposed to see. If he had been at the war front, he would not have seen Beersheba having a bath. And listen, Beersheba did not come inside his room. He was the one walking on the parapet of the building. You know, they say an idle hand. I tell people this, there's no unemployment in the spiritual labor market. There's no what? Unemployment in the spiritual labor market. Is either you are working for God or you are working for the other person. That's the truth. There's no neutrality. No, I'm in the middle. No, you're working either for God or you're working. So it's important. I mean, that's the reason he fell. The Bible says, he that thinketh he standeth should what? Take heed. That's why you must keep making investments. Keep making investments into your spiritual growth. It doesn't matter how long you have been a Christian. Investing in your spiritual growth is an ongoing process. So why? So that you may not fall. So that people have lost. Listen, the fact that you are standing today does not mean you will stand tomorrow. There's a proverb that says thus, the death that killed your friend is only warning you. Amen, somebody. So that's why the Bible says we need to take extra care. Amen? Amen. People have lost their spiritual vibrancy. People have lost their cutting edge. God said this to me this time. He said, what you don't nourish will die. Do you know that there were several people that walked with Apostle Paul, but along the line, they backslided? Example, Demas. 2 Timothy 4 verse 10. Paul says, Demas has forsaken me. I mean, this is one of the soldiers of Christ, fellow workers with Paul. He says, he has forsaken me. He has departed to Thessalonica. Thessalonica used to be one of the commercial nerve centers in Greece in those days. Cosmopolitan city. It was like the things of the world drew Demas away. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor. Say, if you don't want to lose your spiritual standing and placement, invest in your spiritual growth. There's a scripture. I wanted us to read it, but please take time to read Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 verse 30 to 34. It's a very interesting parable. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Interesting things that this man said was that, lo, it was grown over with what? Thorns and nettles has covered what? The face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was what? Broken. Why was it broken down? It was not being taken care of. Do you know if you don't nurture and cultivate your ground, weeds will take over. What is a weed? I can't forget this definition that our Greek science teacher taught us. A weed is an unwanted plant growing where? In an unwanted place. That's what will happen. When you don't take care, things that you didn't bargain or plan for will start to show up. So tell your neighbor, say, nurture. Say, cultivate. Let's take the time. You are standing today. Praise God. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it lightly. Keep investing. Amen, somebody. Amen. And you keep getting stronger in Jesus' name. Amen. Number what now? 8. Why do I need to invest in my spiritual growth? Because growth is the only constant thing. Growth is the only constant thing. Every other thing is subject to change. Amen, somebody. If you refuse to grow spiritually, you might be replaced. If you refuse to grow spiritually, you might become outdated. If you refuse to grow spiritually, you might lose relevance. If you refuse to grow spiritually, you may lose your footing. You may lose your ground. I once read about the story in the early 40s, 50s, Switzerland had a grip on wristwatches rather. It was strong dominion. 80% of most of the wristwatches was produced from Switzerland. A man approached a company, or several companies actually, in Switzerland with an idea of, it was a design to have wristwatches in a digital form, not the analog. All the companies he went to, they turned him down. So in desperation, and you know, he went somewhere else. He actually went to Japan. Amen, somebody. He spoke to one or two companies. That was how the birthing of Sieco came. And you know something? Because they refuse to listen and to embrace that new technology, Switzerland lost the grip and the influence they used to have on making watch. What is the import of that story? Tapping over, say growth is the only constant thing. If you refuse to grow, you will fossilize. You will fossilize. You know what it means to fossilize? When something withers away, amen, somebody, loses its relevance, amen, somebody, outdated, amen, somebody, becomes obsolete and becomes useless. May you never become obsolete or useless. Jesus said in John 15 verse 2, he says, if any man does not abide in me, what will the Father do? We'll cut it off. Say, every branch that abides in me brings forth what? More fruit. So it's important for us to realize that growth is the only constant thing. Tabitha said, growth is the only constant thing. You know, today, the country of Malaysia is one of the largest producers of palm oil in the world. Well, there's this debate. Nigerians are denying it. Amen, somebody. I read something some time ago online, NIFOR, that is the National Institute of, that's responsible for palm oil, whatever, in Benin or so. You know, there's this saying that they took seedlings from Nigeria. They said they didn't take seedlings. They said they didn't take it. That the one that they had, they got it from Dutch, you know, the Dutch people. Whichever way, amen, somebody. The truth of the matter was, we had started production of palm oil before Malaysia even ventured into it. Amen, somebody. But we are no longer in the global, you know, ranking like we used to. We've lost our what? Our place. Why? Because we didn't respond to growth. Amen, somebody. You see, if you don't respond to growth, you'll be left behind. If you refuse to invest in your spiritual growth, you'll be left behind. Somebody can become spiritually obsolete. You know, we know what when something is obsolete, it's of no use. Amen, somebody. Look at the neighbor and tap him and say, that's why you must invest this year. Tell him, I say, you must keep investing. If you really want to be relevant with the scheme of things of God in terms of what God is doing and what he wants to do, growth is what will keep you and I relevant. Growth. I don't think there's anywhere somebody in an organization, if you are not growing, if you are not productive, there's no way you can endear the heart of leadership there. There's no way. Because it's growing and being productive that will make it to be relevant. Even in the spiritual realm also. So tell your neighbor, say, this year, say, there's no room for slothfulness. If you believe that, say a better amen. I want to try to round it up maybe by 10 so that we can pray. Number 9, why do I need to invest in my spiritual growth so that you can be able to assess assess the fullness of your heritage in Christ. When I say the fullness of your heritage in Christ, I'm talking about the, in terms of what you have, who you are, what you can do in Christ. If you remember, was it last year? I spoke on new creation realities, and I told us, I said, being a child of God, being in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in what? Christ is what? A new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become what? You say, being in Christ, you have a new personality. You have great possessions. Amen, somebody. You have great provisions. You have great potential. Then you also have what? Enviable position. When we talk about, you know, your fullness, the fullness of what you have in Christ, we're talking about your placement, your position, your potential, your privileges, your personality. These things are huge. Not every person is walking in the totality and the fullness of what Christ has made available. You know what will push us there? Is growth. Somebody say growth. I once had the story, I don't know how many of us know, Elvis Presley used to be the king of rock and roll. Had only one child, died, you know, abruptly, and he appointed certain people over his what do you call that thing now? Estate. Yeah, estate. And he had only one child. They were supposed to keep the estate in trust until the child, that is Lisa Marie, you know, Presley, could take possession. She has to be 25 years. What am I trying to say? You see, there are certain inheritances that you and I cannot take over. In Christ, it's yours until you begin to what? Grow. Hello, somebody. I say, hello, somebody. Let me paint a scenario you understand. If your five-year-old boy says, daddy, you know what? Sit down today. I want to drive. What will you do? You hand over the key to him. Definitely not. He said, wait till you are like 18 before, you know, you can drive us. Amen. Why? He's still what? A child. Can't do that kind of responsibility now. Are you getting the picture? You see, we have a huge inheritance in Christ, but some of this inheritance comes with growth, especially the richer, the deeper, and the fuller ones. You have to grow. There are things that God cannot commit to us, or there are things you will not walk into until you grow spiritually. You know, spiritual power is something that requires a lot of maturity to handle. Amen, somebody. Amen. Spiritual power requires a lot of responsibility and maturity to handle. So at times it's like, God is not answering this prayer. You know, he wants you to grow. He wants to grow first before you can say, okay, son, okay, daughter, go ahead. Because in reality, if we refuse to grow, some of us, we abuse spiritual power. In fact, some people have abused it too. Imagine Joseph. If Joseph had not grown spiritually, what do you think he would do to his brothers? Tear them into pieces. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Amen. But because he had grown, he's matured, he was in a place of power, and he could have finished them. Could have. He chose not to. Extended love and mercy. That comes with maturity and understanding. Amen, somebody. There are some things that we will not enter into in God until we grow spiritually. It's not like God does not want to give you the nations or give you the land, but God wants to see your level of maturity also too. Because these things are important. This thing comes with a lot of responsibility. Amen? I said amen.
You know that I think it's 18 years. You have to be 18 years old before you can even vote in Nigeria. Amen, somebody. Is that true? Even under the old covenant, to if you are born to the family of the Levites, you have to be 30 years to serve in the temple. You see, there are some things that comes with maturity. That's why we have to grow if you want to enter into the riches and the fullness of what Christ has made available. And this year, God will grant you and I the power to make huge investments into our spiritual growth in Jesus' name. Then finally, why do we need to invest in our spiritual growth so as to be able to prevail in the battles of life? The exams of life does not have any timetable. The exams of life does not have any timetable. Challenges can show up any day, anytime. That's why you and I need to be prepared. Part of the things that God uses in preparing us for the challenges and, you know, the battles of life is our investment in our spiritual growth. The Bible says if you faint in the day of adversity, Proverbs 24 verse 10, your strength is small. You know, Paul was saying in Ephesians 6 verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be what? Be strong in the Lord. Tap it and say, be strong in the Lord. Tell him, say, be strong in the Lord. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on, verse 11, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles. Listen, Satan is a man of strategies. That word wiles means strategies, methods, or stratagems. Satan is a strategist. Amen, somebody. He has plans. Amen. He doesn't just do things haphazardly. People think that Satan is just doing things. No! He's a strategist. But God has given us the answer. He says, put on the whole armor so that you can stand against what? His wiles, his trickery, his maneuverings. The Bible says, let Satan get an advantage over us. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Let Satan get an advantage over us because we are not ignorant of his devices. He's a man, he's a crafty man. Amen. Amen. But the wisdom of God is superior to the craftiness of Satan. Are you the house? That's why the Bible says a wise man, Proverbs 24 verse 5, he is strong or is in strength. A man of knowledge increases strength or strengthens might. Strengthens might. The Bible says wisdom strengtheneth a wise man more than 10 mighty men in the city. What does that mean? One wise man is stronger than 10 powerful or strong men. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 19. Think about that. One wise man stronger than what? 10 powerful or hefty men. No matter the trickery, no matter the devices of Satan, the wisdom of God is superior. But you have to assess that wisdom. That's why you must make investment. Assess it into your life. One definition of wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. Proverbs 15 verse 2. The Bible says, a wise man uses knowledge aright. A wise man knows how to use knowledge in the right way. The fact that somebody is knowledgeable does not mean he's wise. I say that again. The fact that somebody is knowledgeable does not mean he's wise. What makes you wise is the correct application of the knowledge that you have. Lot of people have loads and loads of degrees, amen, somebody, loads and loads of information, but they have not done anything about it. It's the one that you use, that has worked for you, that will deliver you in the day of trouble. That's why you must invest. Tabitha say invest. David had been investing in spiritual life, in spiritual growth. When the lion came, amen, somebody. Bear came. So when Goliath showed up, it's not something new. The God that killed the lion, that killed the bear, will kill this Goliath.
That's not the first time he's testing his skills, his warrior skills. Amen, somebody. God had given him little wings, some wings below his belt. That gave him the motivation to face whatever came. You will win this year. Amen. God will grant you victories. Please, don't ever underestimate any victory. A victory is a victory. I don't see it as, for me, that's not like small victories. A victory is a victory. Because you learn important lessons that will serve you later. It's the same principle. The God that can give you the victory over the lion and the bear, he will give you the victory over the Goliaths that is standing before you this year in Jesus' name. You will defeat those giants. You will subdue them. You will trample upon them under your feet in the name of Jesus. That's why this year, Jehovah will empower you and do bigger things. I said, Jehovah will empower you and do bigger things. This year, your spiritual vibrancy is changing for the better in Jesus' name. Greater spiritual sensitivity, greater spiritual stamina, greater spiritual strength in the name of Jesus. From within your innermost being, ideas, concept, wisdom that will put you over in life in the name of Jesus. Your hands shall not be weary spiritually. Every areas of spiritual defeat, every areas where you have suffered defeat spiritually, you are reclaiming those grounds this year in the name of Jesus. I said you are reclaiming those grounds this year in the name of Jesus. The Lord is raising you up. The Lord is lifting you up. The Lord is elevating you. I see you overcome in every challenge this year in the name of Jesus. Lift up your two and say, Heavenly Father, I receive the blessing and the grace behind these words. Thank you, Father God, because my spiritual growth this year shall be evident. I receive grace for a lifting spiritually in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray for 1 minute. Go ahead and pray.